How sweet it is to trust in Jesus. You know, those words about great faithfulness and God's mercy come from Lamentations. Lamentations is a book written by the prophet Jeremiah. Okay, he had seen the destruction of Jerusalem and his heart was broken. He was lamenting. That's what Lamentations means. It's a lament, a sorrowful cry out to God, a brokenhearted beseeching, not understanding sometimes why God operates in the way he does, but peace in knowing that he's the operator. We're not. So let's pray that as we open his word this morning, we see the power of God directing our lives and the joy we have in the day of Christ, our hope. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of your word. And as we look at scripture in Philippians 1 today, may we be encouraged indeed that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, may we be strengthened by that. Lord, in those areas where we're entrapped by feelings, Lord, help us claim truth, we know. Lord, write it on our hearts. We pray for surrender to the Spirit's prompting, Lord. You speak to us constantly, and we turn away. And Lord, help us recognize where we're doing that, and that you would encourage us in the truth that we know, and that as we open the word this morning, we would learn more. We thank you for Paul's life and the power of his testimony, and ask that as we open the word this morning, we would learn something new. Lord, that through us, you may be exalted through our transformation. You would get all the glory, and we pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, every time I come up to teach, I'm sitting there thinking I don't have anything to say. I'm not an outline person, but I am. Like, I make lists and I do all that. But when I talk, basically what I've done is I've read the scripture over and over and over and tried to look at other places in scripture that would enlighten what we're looking at. I read multiple versions of the scripture and basically kind of bathe myself in it. So, like, I don't have a formal outline of what we're doing this morning, but I have like a mind, and you know, it's been given to me like a mind of Christ. And so I don't always act Christ-like, okay? But I always have the mind of Christ because I'm a believer. I ask the Lord into my heart. And so as I journey, the progressive journey that we're each on as a believer, I'm changed. People can testify to the difference in not only my life, but in my conversation. And so it's dramatic in one sense, but it's basic. Okay, it's how God works. And so let's open Philippians 1 this morning. Now, where were we in the weeks? I hope you enjoyed your brunches. Where were we in the weeks before this? We were looking at the greeting that Paul gives, and his basis of his greeting is grace and peace. And remember, we talked about grace is getting what you don't deserve. That's unmerited favor, the favor of God, okay? And mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We all are under judgment, and we deserve eternity in hell. Why did God allow Adam and Eve to even leave the garden? It was for us to make a journey back, okay? And so as you look at the stories from the Old Testament, you know that's where I love to graze. You know, I love to hang out in the Old Testament, and every year when I read through that story of the Exodus, when you get to Exodus chapter 13 and 14, and they've left, and they're at the edge, and they're thinking there's no way. They're up against the sea, and the armies behind them. God delivers. He makes a way. Okay, and that's what he does for us. And we have to continually recognize it. So here we are in the grace and peace that he's offering them. And one of my notes here I had from previous is there's no peace without grace. Okay, without God's unmerited favor, we can't be at peace because we haven't received his salvation. We're still trying to work it out ourselves. We're still trying to fix what's wrong. Okay? Inward peace springs from a sense of divine favor, that unmerited favor. So we almost, in many senses, don't recognize it in our own lives because we're so entrapped by emotion, and that's what our culture deals in. And so you have to suppress that emotional reaction to things and ask for the truth of the word to be poured out in your thinking. And that's when he talks about later in Philippians, he talks about what are you thinking about? What are you spending your time on? Now, I like mysteries. So if you look at mysteries on TV, it's mostly about murder. Okay, so a couple, not even not that long ago, I stopped watching murder mysteries on TV because it's like, what are you thinking about? I mean, I can always solve it. When Karen Baker was my roommate, she said, how do you know? How can you figure out what the result's going to be? You could always figure it out. I said, because you look at people's behavior. Okay, but anyway, so the thing is that you have to choose. And one of the things he's talking about here in when we get to verse, we're looking this morning at verse 18, the end of verse 18, to the end of the chapter in verse 1. Now, I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Okay, so here it is, his first statement here in the end of verse 18 is, yes, I'll continue to rejoice. Rejoicing is a choice. Okay, so every day we're faced with trials, troubles, overwhelming circumstances in a human sense, but in a spiritual sense, God has taken care of it. It's under the blood. And so when we believe the truth of the scripture, we are miraculously at peace. And in the earthly plane, there's not a reason we should be so settled. But in the spiritual plane, we have God, and we have hope that he kept referring to earlier in the day of Christ, that Christ is returning. So listen to this. Yes, and I will continue. I'm going to choose to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. See, we don't do this in our own strength. It's not a matter of your will. It's a matter of allowing the Spirit to control us. So God's provision of the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. So bad things can give you a good deliverance. So how about that? I mean, honestly, if each of us looks at our life this morning, we could certainly prove that. And the thing is, we have to be thinking that way. I eagerly expect, in verse 20, he says, and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Okay, so if we go to Acts 28, and we won't look at it now just because of time, but Acts 28, I would go there because he talks about his prison and where he is. He's been under arrest in Rome, but he really has a guard and the freedom of living in a house. He's not like Joseph was in the dungeon, okay, with other prisoners. He has the freedom of having visitors and being able to teach people. Why would God do that? I mean, he says in other epistles, the whole Roman guard, all the powers of Rome were hearing the gospel. So on one hand, it's a curse to be a prisoner. On the other hand, it's a blessing. And like Joseph said in Genesis, at the end, either 49 or 50, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. Okay, and so God can use every circumstance. We have a mighty God. He redeems everything for his purposes. There's nothing that happens that cannot be redeemed. It looks hopeless to us. It is overwhelming. We are down on our knees sometimes, down on our face, defeated, and yet God can deliver from that, and he can use it. He uses our perseverance to give testimony and encouragement to others. And he encourages us, even though when you're in it, you don't get it, but you get what you need, okay? And so that's the picture and the beauty of, you know, the Old Testament manna. You couldn't collect extra for tomorrow. That's like God's grace and mercy. You can't collect extra. You get it when you need it, okay? And so you look at people's lives and say, I could never go through that. Well, you're right. At this time, you couldn't. But when you need it, God sends it. And so it's like, I choose to rejoice. I continue to rejoice in how God works. I don't always like it, okay? I don't always appropriately react, but I know that he's there when I come to my senses, okay? So he says, I eagerly expect and hope that I won't be ashamed, then down to 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Like, he would like to just step out of this world and go to the spiritual world, all right? He knows what's coming. For if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And he's saying fruitful labor. He's not saying fruitful rest. You know, like, don't we want to choose Jesus and be done with the work? And he's saying, no, it's like you labor on, okay? And you don't labor on in your own strength, because if, like, we think about it, we need God to encourage us to get up and to be faithful. We don't have that in ourselves. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and getting strength from your own ability, which is kind of a heretical teaching that is a tradition in America. You don't do that. God does that. God pulls us up. We can't get up. And so the thing is, we're going to keep falling. You know, like, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's a biblical truth. It's not a sales pitch. Think about it. Think about it. Like, every time you hear that, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, and the world wants to sell you every kind of device and fix, and we fall for it. But the thing is, our peace should say, I've fallen and God is here to pick me up. Okay? Your device isn't going to get you there in time. You know, my sweet mother is 90, and she is like, up with the iPad and up with the phone, and it's like, I'm not interested in any of that. I have to do it for work, but I don't have a personal cell phone, and I'm happy. But she would say to me, like, well, what if something happens and I need you? I said, well, you know what, Mom? I said, I'll find out the old-fashioned way when God wants me to. And I said, you know, we've become so enmeshed with man-centered help, and we need to rely on God-centered help. And this is how the enemy robs us of the joy of trusting Jesus. Okay, so here he is. He says, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Amen to that. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And one of the recurring themes he talks about is that sense of that we are in partnership together and that we need to encourage one another. Our human nature would make us critical of one another. People who don't believe the same, people who don't act the same or have the same set of principles. Doctrine doesn't change. The foundational principles are the same. How people interpret them is a matter between them and God. Many times we have to give patience as God teaches us first. It's like get that plank out of your eye before you're moving the speck from your brother or sister, okay? So he's saying it's me, and sometimes the problem is you, okay? And we want to point to other people, and we can easily recognize shortcomings in others. Hello? Yeah? And so we don't do the same examination of ourselves. And so we ask God for patience as he changes people to his likeness, not ours. You know, and so we falsely think that we are the standard bearer. That's where we put ourselves on God's throne. And how often do we do that? More often than you realize. And so what God in his mercy has done is he has not stricken us down for trying to take his place, okay? He has given us an opportunity to choose joy, to choose that unmerited favor that he's going to bless us with, okay? Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So that's his joy in his partnership with the Philippians and his encouragement in hearing what they're doing. But there, as we'll read later in the book, there's some strife there. There's some people who aren't getting along. And so they need some encouragement to choose to get to get along and to be part of the body of Christ. You know, as the church here is, I've been a member of Chelten since 1979. Have things happened in this church I don't like? You bet. Okay? But this is my family, and so you just don't leave. You pray for those in authority. You ask for God to give your pastors wisdom and encouragement. Ask for protection for people in leadership, that they would know God's way, not their way. They need help, and they've been placed over us with purpose. So whatever happens in verse 27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. He will know it. Striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. There are wolves among us, okay? So we need to be mindful of that, and that God would give us wisdom and discernment. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. To me, this is like an interesting thought about people who oppose the furtherance of the gospel are aware they're under a sentence. Now, could they maybe verbalize that? I don't think so, but their behavior evidences that. Okay, and so some things you don't know in a physical sense, you know in the spiritual sense. So here he's saying, this is a sign to them. They have a sign, an evidence that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. We're not saving ourselves, God is, okay? And so as we look at things that happen in the world, be encouraged, because the dark side knows its days are numbered, okay? In the King James, it says, it's an evident token of perdition, okay? And a clear sign of their destruction, I think it says in the New American Standard, and maybe the ESV, and another version says, a sign of destruction. Okay, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. But we don't see it. We're waiting. And we know God knows the right time for that to happen. But that you will be saved and that by God. And that's another reason to continue to choose joy. Like, that's the theme of this term in Tapestry. It's like choosing joy. You have to choose it every day. I can remember one day about choosing. I mean, can people blow your world? And I'm in the Wawa buying coffee, and the person at the desk is just so mean and nasty, and it ruined my day. I allowed it to ruin my day. Okay, and so you have to choose to live above those things, and it's a test. See, praise God, He's testing us to help us understand that we need to, like, throw that off. That's the enemy's distraction, trying to indeed ruin our day, affect our whole attitude. And listen to this in 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, hallelujah, thank you, all right, but also to suffer for Him, hallelujah, thank you. Because you know what? If we didn't suffer, we wouldn't be on our knees. We'd be like those fat believers, and I'm not talking physically fat. I'm talking to people who got contented and lazy and depending on their heritage. I mean, that was the problem for the Jews. They wanted the choice. They didn't want the cost for having God as their Savior. For it has been granted you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but to also suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here I still have. Now, wouldn't you think this guy, that the pillar of Christian doctrine and teaching, would have been relieved of suffering? But no, he said he asked God to remove that thorn from his side, and God said no. My grace is sufficient for you. What a sweet place to be. Not something that we would choose, but God has allowed it for us to rest in His power, not ours. We have no strength to solve these issues that bring suffering to us. We do have the ability to choose joy. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for the beauty of the spirit world that we don't understand, that sense of hope and peace that you bring to each of us based on the Spirit's indwelling in us. And Lord, we think today of any here in this room who have not asked you into their heart, that you're not their personal Savior. Lord, we would pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you that you never tire of revealing your might and power, and that your desire is that none should be lost. And so this morning, we're thanking you that we don't understand it all, but we trust you. And we pray this all in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.